now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Mitch Graham McMorrow.
Today on the show, we tackle male rape.
And PC Mike Stevens is here from Avon and Somerset Police.
What's it like to work backstage at a theatre?
Well, he's a show bear himself, so it's only fitting that Ivan has been finding out.
All that and a lot more coming today right here on Shout Out. Hello.
No singing.
Hello.
No singing.
Not
Hello.
Allowed.
Why?
Why not?
It's Steph's thing.
You can sing, Mitch.
That's what Steph does.
Oh, thanks.
Steph sings.
Yes, it's my job.
Oh,
yes.
Go on then, sing.
Yeah, she's got her.
You want me to sing? You've got enough of me singing that you've caught.
You just said you were going to sing.
I feel pretty. Oh, so pretty.
Oh, she should be Maria.
I am when I do the vacuuming.
Yeah. And do you do that in the style of Freddie Mercury?
No, actually, Natalie Wood.
Natalie Wood.
I much prefer that style.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. I don't know if he did. I'm pretty, but he did something with a vacuum cleaner.
He did do something with a vacuum cleaner, but we won't be going there tonight. I think the kids are still up.
Anyway, if you like show business, we've got a really cool report coming for you later on. Ivan's been backstage at Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Do you want to sing that?
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang,
we love you.
Yes.
Oh, you. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, love you too.
You do know we only get a couple of minutes on top of show, don't you?
La 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 la. Bang, bang, chitty, chitty, bang, bang,
you know,
I'm for offended friend.
Well, we could use that as a bed, couldn't we? I could have that as the bed.
Okay.
Now, you'd think coming out of Louisiana with all the flooding, it's quite sad news because people have died and there's thousands homeless. But
thousands.
There is
it's awful.
A little glimmer of really good news coming out of this.
Oh?
Tony Perkins' home has been flooded.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Do you want to explain to the listeners who Tony Perkins actually is? Because some people might not know who he is.
The gays have control of the weather and it's the gays' fault that the floods.
He's one of them anti-LGBT hate preachers in America, isn't he, basically?
I always thought everything was God's fault, not gays. But he blames the gays for everything.
Did I read it right, though? He said it's not the gays, it's God testing him and his
oh, what, for his flooding of his house?
Yeah.
It's not gay people now.
It's him being tested by the Lord Almighty.
Yes. Okay.
But it's not just flooding. He blames the gays for any natural disaster.
Yeah.
Yes. Any natural disaster, did you say?
But we've had this conversation before. I think it's pretty safe to say most LGBT people I know, myself included, if we had that kind of power, we'd actually do quite a lot of good with it. We wouldn't be flooding places and the like.
I totally want to control weather. I've got ideas. I've got plans. Things we could do.
You scare me sometimes.
I've got plans. Yeah, exactly. Go.
Some may think doesn't count, you know.
If I only had the power.
Not the garden.
Oh. If I only had the power.
No, if I could like cast rain like that, like they say you could, you go to somewhere like Africa where the crops die and you cast the rain there, so they didn't, wouldn't you?
Yes,
and
give the UK a little bit more sun.
Oh, well, to be honest, we're doing quite well at the moment for sun.
It's brief, obviously.
It's very brief, yes.
We know it's brief, so we've got to make the most of it and stop complaining about the sun.
No, I have to admit, I've made a pact to make sure I don't complain this year because I really like the sun. It's really nice.
We'll be watching now in future everything you say.
Will you
have recordings? Yes, I have your house.
It's called
plugged.
A podcast. Yes.
Is that what you call it? That's what modern technology does for you. You end up on a pod.
I'll put you singing at the beginning of the podcast. You carry on. I'll just edit them all together so the first thing the podcast listeners hear is you singing like lots.
Hang
You're
on, Lucy
always
wants
on social media. You're on more social media than I am. And there is an age difference. And
slight age difference. I'm old enough to be your grandmother.
She's trying to be very polite, people.
Well,
Lucy was, that
mum.
Was Lucy's attempt.
I was going to say my mum.
Being very polite.
Anyway, talking of social media, I'm hoping you've been doing some research for us because it's that time.
I've been doing some stuff.
You have? Cool.
Yes.
So Lucy's in this week with this week's Out Shout. What are we talking about? Exciting going on? Has everyone kind of gone away a bit at the moment?
Well, if you want to go somewhere else, there is good stuff happening. Possibly a quick, as Steph reminded me, a quick reminder of all the prides that are happening.
Oh, there's loads.
Yeah, I know. So if you're winding yourself up for the big one, Manchester Pride starts next weekend.
Next weekend it starts.
Oh, okay. So get planning, sort out your rehydration plan, sort out your emergency rendezvous plan, you know, make sure that, try and find a hotel. Good luck.
Oh, you won't. Well, no, I'd be surprised if there are any hotels left.
No, it won't be, but if you are going, now's time to start planning. I went once, and you need a lot of forethought if you want to start engaging with that price.
Is it really that big? Manchester's wonderful. I enjoy Manchester. Yeah.
There might be more room in Cornwall, because Cornwall Pride actually clashes with Manchester, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, so right, okay, so if Manchester's not your bag, and you actually would rather be proud in Cornwall, and if you're from Cornwall, why else would you want to do anything else? Cornwall Pride is also taking place at the same weekend.
You're not supposed to sound that sarcastic when you say that.
No, I'm just, if you are
I thought you were sounding very genuine.
If you're a proud Cornish person, and you want to celebrate Pride, why would you go to Manchester?
Kurnow rules.
There we go.
Kurnow does rules.
Yeah, didn't Cornwall used to be a different country at one point?
Totally, it's a whole nation and everything. Yeah,
Like Wales.
Yes. Well, Wales still is.
But yes, yeah. It was like Wales. So
It was its own country.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Donkeys years ago, mind.
Closer to home,
Steph
though.
Will remember. Sorry, carry on.
Ouch. Can I respond to that?
Go on, carry on, Lucy.
But you've got to have a response, Steph. Oh, you can't just ask.
Steph, no, don't hit Andy. No.
Oh,
Steph,
this is getting ugly. Oh, dear.
Get back in your seat.
Oh, there's a splash of blood on the signage. Oh.
I can't believe you ruined your good shoes like that, but I'm impressed.
Are you all right, Andy?
I'm fine, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Moving closer to home.
Just a bit assaulted by Steph.
Last week, we had the lovely ladies of for Trans Pride Southwest in, talking about everything that we can expect when that's up and coming. However, before Trans Pride kicks off, they do have a fundraising event, and that is happening this weekend in Bath.
Oh, cool.
Yes, on the 20th, which is the Saturday. So Saturday the 20th at Mandolin's.
Oh, impressive, do that again.
Thank you. At Mandolin's in Bath will be the Trans Pride Southwest fundraiser. So, you know, it's good. We don't really talk enough about outside Bristol. I don't think I've ever covered an event
in Bath, actually. Can I just say, Lucy?
Yeah, sure.
With your beautiful radio voice and your completely neutral accent, I thought you just said Bath, not
no,
Bath.
No, we've talked about this,
see, I'm a
Steph.
Bath.
I'm a, you're a Bath.
Bath.
That was good. It's a bath.
Tell which ones of us are true Bristolians.
I say Bath because I'm from up north, and that's the last vestige of my northern accent. Yeah. Winter is coming. Anyway, so that is Trans Pride, and then I was going to cover one more sort of regular thing, which we have talked about before, and that is the fitness classes at Hamilton House, which happen every Monday.
Cool.
Yes. So at Hamilton House, they do loads of good plat classes, and they've got an LGBT-focused fitness class at 7 o'clock every Monday. Go down there, take your friends, make new friends.
Fantastic.
It's a nice, relaxed environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So those are the events.
I haven't quite got
to
the
Year's
resolution.
Can I just say, I've just found out that it is Be Kind to Humankind next week.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It was Gay Uncle's Day on Saturday just gone.
Gay Uncle's Day.
Is that just something that your nieces and nephews just sold you a line on and said,
I am now because I got married, but and my sister hasn't had kids. But it was all over the American press. It's become a big thing. You know what it's like in America. So, but it is a genuine day.
So instead of Mother's Day and Father's Day,
it's as well as. Yeah.
Alongside it.
Oh, right. Oh dear. I get in trouble if you cancel Mother's Day. My mum will kill me.
Don't do that.
You can't cancel Mother's Day anyway.
Who invented that? Toys R Us?
Mothers.
What, for Mother's Day?
No. The gay uncles. It's got to be a toy shop somewhere, hasn't it? Invented that. Just
the
to
gay
get
uncle.
The...
Or a florist or something
kind
like
of
that. Maybe.
Product what is Toys R Us going to sell to celebrate Gay Uncles Day?
Well, it's the kids like don't care.
It's an awesome Lego set.
Rainbow He-Man.
Yes.
Embrace your inner Wookiee or something.
Explore your sexuality, Lego Hogwarts, Harry Potter.
Maybe not. Very inventive for you.
Well,
ouch. Cool. Anyway, thank you, Lucy.
No worries.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Slightly older one, that one.
Is that like Diana Ross? No.
No, close.
Donna Summer.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, not as well known that one. That's Once Upon a Time, that one. But
that's,
yeah.
Yes.
I just did
it's
one of those.
It's very disco, isn't it?
Yeah,
one?
Well, I just did one of those random pick a track things, and that was one of the ones that came out. I thought, Steffi will like that. So I'll play
she
that.
Can sing as well as I can.
She can.
No,
well, she can't.
No, I've heard her.
Just
as well.
Saying.
I'd say so too.
Now, joining us in the studio this week, we're very pleased to say from Avon Somerset Police, welcome to the show to PC Mike Stevens. So a warm welcome to you.
Good evening.
I wish we were kind of talking to you about something nice, but it's actually quite a serious subject we're going to be talking about today. Do you want to kick us off as how it kind of all came about? Because is it a new thing that you're kind of getting into? Because it's SARC, isn't it, that we're kind of looking at?
Okay, so basically around 2 years ago now, the Ministry of Justice made available some money to service providers in the across the UK to encourage them to provide services for male victims specifically. And it was really as a result of that that I kind of approached one of my managers with the, chance, if you like, to progress sort of the policing side of it,
right.
To link in with the service providers.
Right, I mean, for the listeners, we're talking about male rape, aren't we?
We are.
I wasn't aware it was a big issue, but then I obviously don't know the stats. I mean, can you give us some idea how big the problem is?
Mm. Okay, well, I mean, again, unfortunately, statistically and factually, we don't have a great deal to go on in the UK. The British Crime Survey from 2 years ago puts it at around 12,000 men per year, or
wow.
1 in 10.
Right.
And do you think it's down to people reporting things like this?
Absolutely. Through the lack of reporting is where we then do not have the figures to back up the fact that services are required, or indeed to highlight that there is a problem.
Now, for clarity, because obviously this is an LGBT plus show that Shout Out is, but this isn't specifically aimed at gay or bisexual men, is it? I mean, male rape happens for heterosexual men as well, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep, absolutely. Again, most perpetrators of rape would identify themselves as being heterosexual. There is, or has been very recently, just a case that we've dealt with, which is used Facebook as its premises or base, where the male was offering services as a photographer.
Yes. It's been all over the press,
hasn't
it?
That's in Bristol, isn't it?
Yes. Nigel Brent Wilkinson, I believe.
Yep, that's correct. Sentenced last week to 11 and a half years for offences against 3 victims.
I mean, that's just really underhand and malicious and premeditated, isn't it? Not one of those, you know, because you sometimes might think, oh, it's a one-off, or it might just happen randomly. But this guy was really going for it, wasn't he, with his use of drugs and...
Absolutely.
A cover photography.
Yep, absolutely. As you've said, it's all definitely premeditated. And Facebook has been used as that route in. And as a standalone incident, it's almost atypical of a reason why perhaps a male victim wouldn't report to the police, because it is something that they've engaged in via something online. They've then more or less gone along with what's happened until such time as obviously it's ended.
Did the guy ever say why he did it?
Not to my knowledge. Obviously, I'm not one of the investigating officers.
The press, it's been all over the press. It's on BBC Bristol as well. It's on BCFM and Shout Out. To give listeners an idea, that the guy basically, he was a photographer, wasn't he? And he was a genuine photographer, from what I understand. But the guys that he was getting in, he was doing model shots with, and he was plying them with alcohol and Rohypnol, which is a known date rape drug. And then basically forcing himself on them against their will because they were incapable of stopping him. He pleaded guilty, I believe.
He did, yes.
Is that atypical of the kind of thing, or is it more at the extreme end?
I would say this is probably more towards the extreme end.
not to say that the I mean, no kind of male rape is no. nice at all, but you know, I mean, it's you don't normally see it in the headlines, is no. more my point.
And I think generally that's because when male rape is occurs, it generally doesn't get reported. And for instance, since I've been doing this particular campaign, or even the Somerset have, in a way, this is our third kind of, and I hate to use the word, but headline sort of conviction.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had some good feedback from the male victims that we've worked with over the last 2 years.
So Mike, sorry, Andy. It's the people who are affected by rape. There's got to be a stigma attached, which is why you don't get the reporting. Now, historically, would you say that a lot of that is the police fault? And we're not, obviously it's changed now, but that people might still be frightened of approaching the police because of the reaction that they're going to get from the police force.
I think to a degree there is some historical views that perhaps do play a part in not coming forward. But I do think that's probably more so related to a generational thing where, you know, if we go back to the 50s and 60s, where obviously to be gay was illegal, the police did openly send out what was termed back then as the pretty boys into cruising locations with the sole purpose of entrapping gay men. Yeah. And obviously the outcomes of that were either imprisonment, hormone treatment, or electric shock treatment. So I do think there is a degree of that.
You should point out that doesn't happen anymore before anyone worries. I mean, the police force is totally changed. We've had Avon and Somerset on the show many times before. We know things are very, very different. But even for those that know, it's totally acceptable to be gay these days. But it's not just gay people we're talking. We're also talking heterosexual men. You know, is a lot of it all that kind of bravado? People saying, you know, you're a man, you shouldn't be able to get raped by a woman, or those kind of things. Is it that kind of thing that's stopping people from coming forward?
Yep, again, it's the kind of societal views that deter men from not just reporting, but also from speaking to others about it or seeking the correct help that they need.
So how do we break down that barrier? What would be the advice to people? You know, if someone was listening and something has happened, they haven't told anyone yet, you know, what's the best kind of advice we can give them?
From me, it would be absolutely... you need to think of yourself, and if it's a case of you really do not want to speak to the police and it's something that's happened a period of time ago, then there are a number of agencies within Bristol that can offer you counselling and or advice. If it's something that's happened within the last 72 hours, you should refer yourself. You do not need the police to refer you. Refer yourself to the Sexual Assault Referral Centre, which is the bridge in the centre of Bristol. And they also act as a signposting gateway.
Right. Yeah. Out of interest, what is that, a 24-hour thing, or is it a...
Yes, it is, yeah.
Right.
Do you liaise nationally with the other police forces?
Unfortunately not, around this particular subject. And as it currently stands, Avon and Somerset are unique in the fact that we are doing more around male rape and sexual assault than any other constabulary. Other constabularies have run poster campaigns and things like that, so awareness campaigns, but what I term as the behind the scenes stuff, so the outreach work and things like that, are not there.
Right. I mean, obviously, Shout Out's quite unique in the fact we go around on six radio stations. So we have got listeners listening in Froome and down in Glastonbury as well. We've just mentioned the bridge, which is the one here in Bristol. But there is a website called thesurvivortrust.org /SARC, which is SARC, where you can go and you can actually see a list of all of the centres all across the UK. So if you're listening and you're outside of the Bristol area, there is a resource there. We'll make sure we put links on against the show as well. So, yeah. So the money that you've got in for this project is about providing the services or raising the awareness, or
okay, just to confirm there, I don't have any money. There's no finance for this.
Just to be clear,
there's no finance for this project, and it is something that's being run in house.
Right.
We obviously do have the support of the Police and Crime Commissioner, Sumat Stevens. It's just become a rolling campaign in exactly the same way as in previous years. We've done what we call the, or has been the typical campaign of always showing the male as the perpetrator and the female as the victim, which doesn't represent society. Things have changed, yeah. And we need to reflect that.
Well, I mean, I guess one of the other questions that listeners may have is where is the line where it becomes just a bit of force, well, I don't even want to say force, a bit of play and crosses into the realms of where it would be something that's serious enough that it should be reported, yeah. Is it?
Well, that line is very, very clear. As soon as one party says stop, or with that effect, that means stop, that is the line. There's no wishy-washy, is the line.
Yeah. So even if someone has met someone on Facebook or Grindr and actually has decided, right, I've had a few drinks, I want to go home now, and that's you know, that's it, isn't it? It should be taken seriously and respected.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is we're trying to get across the message, you know, we're not interested in how this ended up being a problem. What we're interested in is where did it happen and who did it?
Yes.
That's what we're interested in. We're here to help the victim. And, you know, I would encourage anybody that encounters, whether it be a rape or a sexual assault, they're male, irrespective of sexuality, to come forward to the police, where you'll be listened to, believed and respected.
Yeah, because, of course, people can disguise themselves as anybody on Facebook. They could be, somebody enticing, you know, like it could be a woman pretending to be a woman enticing a young straight man, for example, couldn't they? And then that straight man is then met them and had an incident and then felt
really... I don't even
really,
think it has to be that much of a con. It can be a case of two people genuinely meet and one... you know, misreads the signs or something, but takes it too far.
Yeah.
You know, it does happen. So, but I think the main issue is, I think people are more scared to report these things than perhaps they should be. It could be one of those things that's very tough to deal with on your own, because you can feel you're the one that did something wrong, even though you actually didn't. And it's good to know. And like you said, if you really, really don't want to talk to the police, you can go to the SARC Centre, can't you?
Absolutely.
The bridge is... It's called here. Well, listen, it's never a nice subject to talk about, but it's brilliant to know that there are services here that, you know, people can get the help and support that they need, whether they're gay or straight in this particular instance, or bisexual or the like. If people want to find out more about what's going on, is it on your website as well? Or?
Yep, we've got... there's an information page on the Avon and Somerset Police website. Just search male rape, take you through to an information page, or the thisisnotanexcuse.org.
Brilliant. Cool. Yes, well, we'll do what we always do, because we've given out a lot of links in this. We'll make sure that on our show page, all the links are there. So if anyone's listening and you want the information, just go to our show page as well after the show, and we'll make sure it's all there. But thank you ever so much for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
I hope it goes well. We'll have to make sure we stay in contact and catch up with
Absolutely.
You in a year or so, see how it's going. So
thank you very much.
Okay. Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out News up next.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, I like that one. Nice dancey one, that one.
Oh, I love Florence and the Machine.
Yeah. Florence and the Machine.
That's called Spectrum.
It's great, yeah. Good dancey tunes.
That's actually a remix of the original, but that was the one that was most successful in the charts.
Right, yeah.
So I think it was, Calvin Harris did that remix, so...
Good old Calvin.
So.
I just know he does underwear modelling, doesn't he, Calvin Harris?
Yeah,
Calvin. It's Calvin Klein. Calvin Klein
does underwear.
other underwear brands. No, Calvin Harris has done modelling for an underwear
Calvin
brand.
Calvin Klein.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
I think so.
So he's got his own name on the underwear.
Something like that. Yeah. I have seen
it. Anyway.
Handy.
In other non-underwear related news, let's get the latest news headlines.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 18th of August.
The New European, a weekly paper which has opened in the wake of the Brexit vote and which gives voice to the 48% of voters who wanted to remain in the EU, this week focuses on LGBT rights across the continent in a detailed article. Also featured is the first in a three-part series by Paul Morley looking at David Bowie's years in Berlin. Between 1976 and 79, Bowie lived in the German city, which was then divided between communist East and Capitalist West, and he was influenced by bands such as Kraftwerk and Neu. During this time, he discovered other acts, including the avant-garde opera talent of Klaus Nomi, who sadly died of an AIDS-related illness back in 1983. The New European newspaper retails at £2 from all good newsagents.
Campaigners for the preservation of London's gay scene have expressed sadness at the news that the Queen's Head on Tyrone Street in the Chelsea area is to close down on September the 6th. Gay Star News says that the pub has been run as a gay venue since the 1940s, long before the official decriminalisation of male homosexuality in July of 1967. The current landlord stressed on social media that in this instance, the brewery that owns the building was not to blame for the pub's demise. A farewell party takes place on Saturday, 3rd of September.
Now, it seems that sometimes hate has been winning, but there are always positive stories to report from our rainbow community. Over £6,000 has been raised for a loving couple, Vestas and Tristan from London, who earlier this year were beaten unconscious by homophobic thugs whilst on the Greek holiday island of Mykonos. Both needed extensive dental work after the horrific attack, according to the gay newswire Pink News, but their friend Daniel decided to make a positive use of the internet and so started a crowdfunding campaign to help meet their medical bills. The couple say that the outpouring of support from LGBT people and their allies across Europe has been an incredibly healing experience. Speaking to the press, the couple said that ultimately they feel pity for their assailants, in that many years from now, the homophobes will feel nothing but remorse for what they have done, but will not be able to find their victims to apologise. The couple, however, continue to live in the love of our diverse community.
Hilary Freeman, the agony aunt at the weekly Jewish Chronicle newspaper, discusses whether a mixed Jewish and Gentile couple should have their baby son circumcised. This is a tradition in some cultures, including the Jewish and Muslim religions, but is considered gentle mutilation by a growing number of male activists, who include a fair number of gay men's advocates. Because the couple are finding it hard to reach a compromise on such an emotive subject, Freeman suggests waiting until the boy is old enough to make the decision for himself. We've linked the article onto our website so you can read more.
And there's emotional high drama for one of the gay characters in the Channel 4 television soap opera Hollyoaks. John Paul, played by actor James Sutton, was recently hit by a car in the storyline, and this week we'll learn from his cousin, the nurse Celine, that he may lose his sight after damage to the optic nerve. John Paul is a popular character who this summer has renewed his relationship with his boyfriend after temporarily separating. Channel 4's hard-hitting soap is popular amongst generations of younger people and addresses many emotionally difficult topics with compassion and sensitivity.
For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Leslie.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Katy Perry and Raw.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. I'm diving all over the place with the music tonight, really, aren't I?
You are. You're being very eclectic, Andy. Yeah. Is that because you've got an eclectic mood upon
feeling
you?
Feeling a bit random last night.
Oh, feeling a bit random. You better not tell Carl.
I think he knows. Oh. Anyway, now, are you a fan of theatre like I am?
I am.
You are. What's your favourite show?
One of my favourite shows has got to be, obviously, Singing in the Rain, but I do like Starlight Express as well.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah, it's, I saw that in London. Cool. Well, they skate all around you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, at the moment, I believe Shishi Bang Bang is, I'm pretty sure I say that right.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. You have to say it with a very British accent, don't you?
It's over in Cardiff at the moment, and Ivan's been finding out what it's like backstage.
Oh, great.
In the studio with me today is David Nelson, who's the company manager for the UK touring production of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. David, thanks for coming in and talking to me today.
My pleasure.
Now, being in the theatre business, it wasn't an obvious career path for you when you started out, was it? How did you get involved with the theatre?
Yeah, well, I started out life as a chef, and actually a fully qualified chef. And after doing that for about 6 years, I then went to work with my dad, who's a farmer. So I worked on the farm. I'd always done a little bit of amateur dramatics with a local company. from there, we got the opportunity to work at the local theatre in Lincoln, doing a one-night thing there that the local Echo had sponsored. And whilst there, I just got chatting to the stage manager, a lovely guy called Art Walker, and said, do you ever need any help backstage? And he said, what are you doing Monday? And I rang Dad and said, Dad, can I have Monday off? I said, why? He says, because they want me to come in and help at the theatre. I thought, okay, yeah, go on then. So literally, I just started working there. The first show that I put together was the Gin Game with Joss Ackland and Dorothy Tootin in.
So you didn't just have the Monday off then?
No. Well, it's like, so I did that and then thought, well, I'll probably never hear him for anything again, you know. And then about 2 weeks later, I got a phone call. It was on a Saturday night. I was just about to go out. What are you doing tonight? I said, well, I'm just about to go out, but I can come in if you want. So I ended up going in and doing the Get Out of Blues Brothers. From then on, I got offered Panto. They had Buddy Holly in just prior to Christmas, before Panto. Right. And to this day, I still don't know how I ended up on sound. But
because you're not a trained sound person.
No, not at all. No. So
it sounds like it was just a completely by chance.
Oh, yes, completely. And
how fantastic is that? Because a lot of people go to theatre, drama school, or theatre school, or stage management, but you just kind of walked into it.
Yeah, and I've always said sort of like, you know, a lot of theatre is 90% common sense, and probably 98% common sense. If you've got common sense, then it sort of works quite easily. But there's a lot of people out there who don't have common sense, and you can't train that, unfortunately.
Very true. Well, tell me a little bit about what's actually involved with being both a stage manager and a company manager.
They're both very different careers. Company management is more office-based, so you need to know how to do your spreadsheets and Excel and Word documents. And you're also, it's the pastoral care of the company. You've got everybody coming in to you, ingrowing toenails, needing physio because they've injured themselves, but also sort of more serious things, sort of like the family's ill, and you are the line of communication between the office and producers and general management and the company on the road.
And the stage management side is more sort of hard graft.
Yes, that's more hard graft. I mean, so like company manager is quite hard graft, but it's more mentally. Stage manager, then you're building sets, you're running the crew, you're running the show. So during the show running times, I don't get involved on stage. I leave them to it. If there's anything goes wrong, then I'm there to make the announcements, to let the audience know what's going on. But yeah, it's more about hard graft, working until silly hours on a Saturday night.
You're clearly enjoying the role of company manager at the moment, right?
Yes, I think because I'm sort of now knocking on a little bit. The days of sort of like being up until 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning taking a set down are a little bit behind me now.
But still, when you're touring, you're away from home all the time, so that takes its toll as well, doesn't it?
It does. A lot of people don't realise how much toll that does take, not just for me, but for the whole company. A lot of the company, they've got families, they've got young children and things like that. So yes, it's quite a strain. It's not the easiest life. People think it's all glamorous and everything like that. It's quite a difficult life sometimes.
What are some of the highlights of your career so far?
I've been very lucky. Last year, I took Top Hat to Japan. 2 weeks in Tokyo, 2 weeks in Osaka. Now, to be able to travel somewhere like that and be paid for it, that's definitely a highlight. But I've also been to South Korea and Taiwan with the show Saturday Night Fever 11 years ago now.
So tell me now, because people pay a lot of money for their tickets when they go to the theatre these days, do you think audiences have become more demanding over time with the ever more complex technology available to stage designers? You must have seen a lot of changes.
Oh, yes. I mean, we talk about Chitty now. Chitty has a lot of video projection within the show. Go back 10 years, the technology wasn't there to be able to do what we can now. You can change scenes by push of a button these days using video and things like that. But yes, I mean, it's come a long way. I mean, automation has been around for quite a long time now. But again, it's ever changing and ever improving. Yes, I mean, the days I started, you know, everything was pushed together with bolts and things like that. And if you wanted to move something, you had to pick it up and move it. These days, you can press a button and it moves on its own.
Well, I was going to say, it seems like every other musical that's produced has a bit of magic flying in it, you know, from Aladdin, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Elf the musical. And is Chitty flying this time around too?
Chitty flies, yes. She flies in a different way to the original production.
Right, I was going to ask you about that, because most people's prior experience before coming to see Chitty will be that 1968 movie directed by Ken Hughes. Do the storyline, the musical numbers, do they resemble what went on in the original movie?
Fairly, yes. I mean, the production at the moment was sort of like created for the stage by Jeremy Sams, and it's had a few little tweaks over the time and things like that, and even this production has a few little tweaks to it, but you know, most of the storyline remains the same.
You've got quite a few cast members joining and leaving the production all the way through the run, and some of them are leads. Does that present you quite a challenge for yourself and the rest of the company?
It's a lot of scheduling, a lot of working out who can do when. I mean, at the moment we have Lee Mead in and Sean Williamson. Sean Williamson leaves at the end of the Cardiff, so we're getting Phil Jupitus, who started the tour off. He's coming back to the show. Michelle Collins was with us up until the end of Wimbledon.
Now that's now, Cindy from EastEnders.
It is, yes. We've got now got Claire Sweeney joined
us. Oh, wonderful. The tour is going to be finishing here in Bristol, but when is that going to be?
We're here next year from the 25th of Jan through to the 4th of Feb at the lovely Bristol Hippodrome.
Well, we can't wait to see the show here in Bristol, David, but let me ask you one final question before I let you go. What is your very all-time favourite musical?
I've got two. One's...
That's cheating. I'll let you have it.
One's Miss Saigon.
Right.
And the other is Mac and Mabel.
Oh, wonderful.
So two very different musicals. Very different. But yeah, very sort of like, yeah, two favourites.
Thanks so much. David, David Nelson, Company Manager for the UK Tour of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Thanks once again for speaking with
no
me
problem.
Today.
Thank you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout. LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
That was a bit more modern for you, Mitch.
Thank
that
you.
Was in the charts at the moment. That's called Sunshine, funnily enough.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite dancey. Come on, summary, actually, that one.
I think I'd like a little, you know, a little glass of some tropical
Prosecco.
Prosecco. Prosecco with a strawberry in it. First summary is that. Yes. Oh, sunshine.
Funny. So, that was a good one. I enjoyed that, the backstage with, what's his name, David Nelson.
Yeah. Terry and I came running in because we heard someone talking about Chitty Chitty Bang
Chitty,
Bang.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yes, you have to be careful how you say that.
Yes, you do. And you had some interesting trivia to tell us about.
Well, we were just
Terry's
talking.
Full of it.
Well, I am full of it.
Full of trivia.
We were just saying how much we love the Child Catcher.
Child Catcher, yes.
And what an amazing, he's like the best, scariest villain
and
ever.
Total icon. He was a man called Robert Helpman who was awarded a CBE. He was an Australian national and he was an actor and a choreographer, but best known for his dancing, and that comes across in the performance of the Child Catcher.
Absolutely.
Even though
I remember when I was a kid, it was scary, the Child Catcher.
Yeah.
So scary.
Really scary.
Yeah,
the ironic thing is Robert Helpman was apparently universally liked. He was a really kind, generous man.
I remember seeing some interviews with the adults who were the child actors at the time. He said how much the kids really liked him.
Yeah. But he just made, and apparently he based his movements as the Child Catcher on spiders he observed in his home, and that's why his limbs are all over the place.
It
and
makes complete sense.
And they put this prosthetic nose on him to make his nose exaggerate.
Passed away in 1986.
Sorry? Passed away in 1986. Yeah. He was also a gay man. And I've read somewhere that he also did a bit of drag as well. On his spare time.
But
he was in a relationship.
He'd be the scary drag queen ever.
Well, that would be fantastic,
but,
though.
Yeah, he was in a relationship with a man he met when he was at Oxford as an undergraduate.
And
they stayed together throughout their lives, which is
that's
really
fantastic,
sweet.
Isn't it?
So that's
it's
Robert
like,
Helpman.
A sort of hidden history, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we should sort of claim these characters because they're kind of rapidly fading into as generations come up. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of younger people that may not have seen the film Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Not the original,
but it's worth seeing. It's
absolutely
definitely worth seeing.
Did you know that in South Australia they posthumously named a place the Helpman Academy?
Yes.
In honour of him.
Yeah, that's really nice, isn't it?
And then in 2001 they instituted the Helpman Awards.
That's fantastic.
It's lovely,
isn't
it? You'd
be very pleased, I'm sure. And I've also got a record at home, an old LP, which is by narrated, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, narrated by Hermione Gingold. Now I suggest
you're going to have to bring that in. So
you're
going
to have to listen to her. She was an outrageous iconographic diva of the last century. So do look her up.
Yeah, look her up. The photograph is very scary. Definitely going to have nightmares.
Hermione Gingold. She was an English actress. Wikipedia summarizes her as her sharp-tongued, eccentric persona defined her career.
Oh, good Lord.
She looks a little bit like Fanny Craddock.
She does, actually.
And she narrated a kid's album, which was absolutely fantastic. And I used to go around the house
going... them to sleep?
I used to go around the house going, chitty, chitty, bang, bang. Which is how she pronounced it. It was wonderful.
Oh, you'll have to, see if we can get some clips of that.
And the wonderful gay childhoods we had.
I think that's time for a jingle, really, isn't it? I think you need to get some
clips.
I'll
see if I can find it on YouTube or or Instagram or somewhere. We'll get some clips.
I think it's the hair and the... that she's got going on there. That's absolutely really doing amazing. It for me.
It's kind of like Are You Being Served? What's her name? Slocum.
Mrs. Slocum.
Yes.
And have you seen the new car?
Yes, they are redoing it, aren't they?
Are they really? Are you being served?
I think it's a one-off special.
No, they're doing a whole series. It's coming back.
Wonderful.
I thought there were a load of one-offs being done, but anyway.
I absolutely loved.
They've done a really good job of making the new cast look very similar to the original cast. It's actually a little bit spooky when you look at it.
Do you know what? Yes. I'm not sure it's a great idea. What do you think, Terry?
I'll be interested to see it, but I don't think. How can you quite reach the heights that John Inman did as Mr. Humphreys?
And it was a thing of its time, wasn't it? But it was a very, it's a very caricatured performance of an idea of gay men in the. In the case of that character.
But I read it, where they could get away with that campness as well, though. Yeah. Isn't it? Do we see that much camp on TV anymore? I don't know. That's a good point.
For example, there was Vicious, wasn't there?
That was hilarious, though.
Yeah, but not everybody liked
not
it.
I'm sure
not everybody liked divisive. The original Are You Being Served? You know?
Interestingly, though, as a lot of people have pointed out, that everyone loved Mr. Humphreys, even though homosexuality was, only just legal, in the 70s, only just become legal.
But he was safe, though, wasn't he? He was a safe sort of caricature.
But to some sort of young gay men growing up, I have read them sort of say, well, everyone loved Mr. Humphrey, so that gave me confidence in coming out.
Right.
But it was very classic TV, the stereotype. It's like Larry Grayson, for example.
Absolutely.
Was another one with the shut that door.
Larry Grayson, another nice man, apparently, a really nice bloke. And he died in 1995. I remember a lovely obituary being published by Gay Times saying, we were a bit cruel on Larry Grayson saying he was a stereotype. You know, he was a man of his time, of his generation, of that old music hall theatre kind of thing.
But also, if that was his genuine persona, then stereotype or not, he's genuine.
Yeah.
True to himself,
put
authentic.
Gay men on TV and radio, I mean, it was like Round the Horn before that.
Oh, yes.
That was as camp as you can get, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, Kenneth Williams.
Yeah. And if you
wonder if they'll ever make any of the Carry On films again.
They did try, didn't they? Julian Clary was in it and various other people in about 1992.
Julian Clary fan. Are you not?
I've got quite a bit of
but
time.
But
do
you know that's that very old fashioned comedy as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's. But he's too modern for me liking it, if I'm honest, I think. Hmm.
Well, but he also is, he gives a camp sort of performance occasionally as well, doesn't he?
But he liked Norman Lamont, didn't he?
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, yes. That was amazing.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Please remember, if you have any concerns following our piece on male rape, we are going to be putting the links to people and places on our website that can help you out.
So just visit shoutoutradio.lgbt, which is also where you can listen again and grab your podcast and get tons more information.
Anyway, we'll be back next week, as always, live from 7, but from myself and the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.